Well, let me ask you, Steve. What is a nerd, Steve?
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I figured you were. Well, you wouldn't write about it if you weren't.
What if I tell you that I had some grandkids and some other friends that are nerds? It's a kind of a term that we've endeared if somebody's really smart. But let me tell you, on this program, Steve, I know you're going to talk about the book, but not us. We're sitting around a round table having coffee. Sheila Art, my co-host today. We want to find out about Steve Rampton. First of all, where are you calling from?
I'm high on a mountain, well, sort of a mountain, in New Jersey.
Oh, my goodness. You don't get the attaboy because a California author is 20 to 6. It's 20 to 9. You already know what's happening. So how far from Newark are you?
Newark is about 45 miles. New York City is like 54 miles.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you, I've been out there many, many, many times, flew into Newark and did some business in that area a lot. When you go 40 miles outside of Newark or New York City, guess what? You've got the Ozarks. You've got people that love their vegetables, farming people. It's a great state, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, where I live, if you dig on my property, you smell cows.
Oh,
that's good, huh? You just keep raising them and don't worry about the methamphetamine. The methane gas. You can worry about methamphetamine, but not methane gas. Steve, tell us a little bit about your background, grew up, all those type of things before we dive into your writing, please.
Sure. I was born in Mason City, Iowa. So I'm a Midwesterner by birth. And my dad was a dentist. Later became an orthodontist. He got tired of the cold weather, so he moved us down to Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm.
So if you mention Dr. Rampton, a lot of folks will smile because he had 25,000 patients in his career. And
wow.
Drank a lot of tea. I went to a school called the Bowles School, just had a reunion with them, very good school in Jacksonville. And then I went off to Vanderbilt to study engineering. In 1966, the war was raging. My dad was a reservist in the Air Force. He said, son, you better join ROTC or you're going to get drafted.
Right.
So I joined up Navy. They didn't have Air Force. So I did Navy ROTC and graduated a little early. Uncle Sam called, and I'd rather be Ensign Rampton than Seaman Rampton, so... Mm-hmm. I bit the bullet and graduated a little early, and they shipped me off to two tours in Vietnam.
Mm.
Well, let's stop there for just a minute. We like to vet our guest.
Yeah.
I just got a note last night late from the local veterans group that said, do you have an ID card from the local chapter?
Mm-hmm.
So I am an E3. Mm-hmm. I saluted junior officers like yourself as I was sitting 3 miles south of the DMZ. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
You were probably in some cush place like Saigon or Da Nang or something like that. We'll find out in a second. But what you learn is the ranks are pretty level when you went to Vietnam, Sheila.
Yeah.
You lost your brother there.
Yeah, exactly.
And so where in Vietnam were you?
Well, I was actually a naval officer, so they had me on ships and boats.
Yeah, he's never hit
two tours. So sometimes I would get inland. Most of the time I was following aircraft carriers around.
Mm-hmm.
But every night we would go above the DMZ to shoot, and they shot back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Well, last night, don't ask me why I did this. Last night I had the opportunity about 4 or 5 years ago to go back to Vietnam with the College of the Ozarks, who takes 12 veterans with them, two of those POWs that were there for over 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, I just was looking up the little Quaviet where I was at, which you were just north of that from the Quaviet River as you go up the coast there. And I looked at a little ship, and you might know this name. It's named for where you're sitting today, called the New Jersey.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that to our audience one more time? You said, oh, my what?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let me tell you, Sheila, the shells that it would shoot are the size of Volkswagens.
Mm.
And when I was sitting on land as a naval guy without a ship, serving with the 3rd Marine alongside the 3rd Marines, they would shoot, Sheila, and you could read 2 or 3 lines of the Stars and Stripes from the muzzle flash.
Wow.
What year were you there, Steve?
70, 71, and 72.
Well, you were there. You were there as we were losing.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He was there with my husband and my brother were there.
Not a happy time.
No, not at all. So keep going. You come back, and whether you got welcomed or not, we're past that. Let me tell you that a quick little story before we go on. When I went back to Vietnam, guess what I found out? It's crazy. The war is over. The war is over.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter, who's 40, and the young people that are 40, the young people in Vietnam, they didn't even remember at all. So it's good.
Kidding.
It's crazy. Now, let me tell you, they don't call it Ho Chi Minh City, and they don't call it the China Sea. They still have a good heart for America and for the South. Well, let's move on. You come back, and what happens after you get back from Vietnam?
I wasn't sure. My dad wanted me to be a doctor, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. So I stayed with the reserves for a bit, and I said, well, heck, probably business would be good. So I applied to a bunch of schools for MBA, and me being a veteran, everybody took me.
Yeah.
So even the FBI, they knocked on my door and said, oh, you're a naval officer and you're getting an MBA. We want you in the FBI. I said, no, I don't want to do that.
Oh, aren't you sorry you did turn that down?
No, it's okay. I got my MBA.
No.
And I went to work in the chemical industry. And that's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm doing things with a couple of my NFL friends. The book sort of describes that. A two-time Super Bowl champion wrote the foreword to my book. His name is Lee Roussan. He's my best friend. And God has just been opening doors, opening doors, opening doors. It's amazing.
Well, we start our program every morning, by the way, folks. The Cardinals did not play last night. They're 6.5 games out of first place. They played 2 games at Milwaukee tonight. I think their magic number is 2 or 3, and they should find their way into the playoffs. Last night, for you that watched a great game, I don't root for Dallas very often, but I just couldn't root for your neighbors, the New York Giants, to be undefeated.
Right.
So there was a baseball score, Sheila, 6-6 up until the fourth
quarter.
Let's continue down this road with our author, Steve Rampton, alpha nerd, trendsetter, and world changer. And do me a favor, if you'll send an email off to your publisher and have them fire us a book. We didn't get one, so we're just going to... No, that's okay. We've done this enough years, we can do even maybe sometimes a better interview, and we haven't seen it because we let you tell us about it. What is the book about?
Well, the original word is N-E-R-D, like the candy. You go into the dollar store, Walmart, whatever.
Right.
I want some nerds.
So this is not misspelled on our page.
And that came from a book in 1950 called If I Ran the Zoo. And a nerd was in the back of the book. And it's a mythical zoo creature, kind of an angry little guy. I wanted to get the book, and the guy goes, oh, I'm sorry, they're banned now. I said, what do you mean they're banned? Yeah, those books, I guess the powers that be, we can't sell them anymore. So I had to go online. It cost me a bunch of money, but I got a copy of it. My book is Alpha Nerd, N-U-R-D. And the reason N-U-R-D is because I invented that in 1964. I was a very unhappy student, and I derived the word as a sort of a teasing type thing. There's a movie called Good Neighbor Sam, and it was about the Nerdlinger Dairies, and I thought that was kind of a funny name. Edward G. Robinson was Simon Nerdlinger, and I started calling people Nerdlingers, you know, kind of straight, boring. So I used that, and I got tired of saying Nerdlinger, and I just shortened it to Nerd. So the book is Alpha Nerd, N-U-R-D, and the website's alphanerd.com.
Now, we write a book. Is it a faith book? Is it a journey? Tell me the format.
Okay. There's only two scriptures in it. The first one is, what was purpose for evil, God turns for good.
Oh, amen.
I definitely believe that. And then one of my editors said, you need some scripture. So I put in Exodus about Moses. And the reason I okayed that is because Moses is in 3 different faiths, Christian faith, Jewish faith, and Muslim faith.
Mm-hmm.
The book is not really a faith book. The book is a practical book. The target audience is young people. I'm getting sick and tired of interviewing these kids who want to go to college for the college experience, mm-hmm. and they want mom and dad and you and I to pay for it mm-hmm. without really a goal. And this debt reduction thing is really stuck in my craw.
Yes.
Because they want us to pay for all this stuff. Mm-hmm. The worst example was I interviewed a young man. I said, where'd you go to school? He said, Harvard. I went, oh, that's very impressive. What'd you major in? Renaissance poetry, he said. I bit my tongue. I said, well, are you teaching or writing? He goes, no. I went, all right, I'll move on. What was your favorite experience, your best memory of Harvard? He goes, well, Mr. Ramson, to tell you the truth, I don't remember very much because I was high most of the time. Mm-hmm. And again, I bit my tongue. I went, well, you know, mm-hmm. aren't your parents proud? They've spent $250,000 to $300,000 sending you to Harvard, and you don't even remember it. So the book is Mothers Love Me. I had one lady tell me yesterday, she said, Steve, your book is amazing. I use it when I talk to my kids about what they're going to do in the future. What's your dream, what's your plan, what's your goals? And that's really my target audience.
Well, Steve, let me tell you, you've opened up so many things today. Yeah. Number one, it's only $400 billion over 10 years, Forgiveness Loan Reduction Act.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because the guy sitting next to him who paid their college debt, like my children, they don't get that. The mom and dad that saved and helped their kids with $50,000 to $100,000, they don't get it. You talk about being unequal, Sheila. That's a...
Well, of course, we went to school after my husband and I both finished our college degrees after his 4 years in the Air Force. And my husband went on to get 3 earned degrees, so with 5 kids, you know.
Sure.
So, and we paid all our debt, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's a frustration. And I think you're right on target. Everybody needs this book when their kids are growing up to teach them to have some type of purpose in life. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about here.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's okay not to have, you know, an immediate goal. But don't waste your money. I mean, my daughter, she wasn't sure. So she got a job at a horse farm here in New Jersey,
yeah,
a very
right.
prestigious horse farm. And she did that a couple of years until she got trampled.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a wake-up call saying, maybe that's not a great career choice.
Yeah, right.
So she said, Dad, maybe I'll go back to school. I said, honey, that's up to you. So she was always good with people. She went to a 2-year County College of Morris.
Yep.
And it cost, I thought the first bill was a mistake.
Yeah.
Charlie, I got this bill. It was for $1,700 for the semester.
Oh.
and I said, honey, you know, I told my wife, her nickname is Noah. I said, it's a mistake. She goes, no, that's what it costs. I went, well, praise God. I mean, that's
Good choice.
Yeah, you said that must just be the meal plan. Well, first of all, you're doing such a good job this morning. You ruined my joke because I wanted to ask if Vanderbilt was still a junior college, but you're sounding so intelligent this morning that I know better than it's a great school. But I want to go back to a couple of things, and I'll be a little transparent here for a minute. And I realize there are parents that are listening. They say, Charlie and Mary, how could you do that to your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the business that I was in, I was not able to amass a lot of extra money, always invest in some type of real estate development project. And saving for our kids' college just didn't seem to work.
Mm-hmm.
But what did work is to sit them down before they went and said, kids, I want to tell you something. When you go to school, you're 18. And I know you love your mom and dad, and we love you, but you're going to go as Matt Ingram and Jenna Ingram and as Wes Ingram. Now, they would probably come on the show and say, Dad, I'd like 5 minutes on the show to debate you on this. I get that. But I said, when you sign those applications, you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And when they ask for your income, you put your income down. And they said, your mother and dad... income, you put NA. Does not apply. I'm here for myself. And what that did, what that did for them, there were grants or Pell grants, there were other things that allowed them to do that. Now, my one son that went to Wachita Baptist University, he does not know whether the college education was worth the finances. Mom and dad, his wife, and the job he's got right now, I think Wachita was well worth the finances. Would you take what I just said and break that down a minute and tell me if I'm wrong, right on, or if you'd have done it differently?
Well, I supported the kids to a certain extent. You know, there was a limit because I didn't make $1 million a year either. But yeah, when they signed on the dotted line, it's their debt. And my one daughter, Susanna, she's a nurse and she's paid hers off. And my son, he's paid his off. He's an artist in California. But Shannon, our daughter, is still paying off her loans for teaching. It didn't fall back to me. It fell back to her.
But
a lot of parents don't do that. A lot of parents sign on the dotted line. Mm-hmm. And it's a big mistake because you're enabling these kids. 20 to 50% of the children, that go, or young people, excuse me, that go to college have no idea what they want to study.
Right.
They can say communications or business, but they don't really know. And once they do declare a major, 75% change it again.
Yes.
So they're just looking for the experience. I went to the Yankees game on Saturday to try and see my friend Judge hit his home run, but we got rained out.
He didn't. You're still one short.
Yep, he's still one short. But these kids were in front of me laughing, and they were vaping and drinking, and mm-hmm. you know, that's okay as long as it's their dime, not my dime. So that's the reason I got such a problem with this student loan thing. But I'm told it's not going to go through. I don't know. I don't even know if it's legal or not.
Yeah.
Our guest today, Steve Rampton, the author of Alpha Nerd. It's a trendsetter and world changer. A couple of notes here, Sheila, if I could just take a side trip for just a minute with Steve. You're talking to a man who less than 3 or 4 weeks ago pitched in front of 46,000 fans at the San Luis Cardinals game in front of the Atlanta Braves team who won the World Series. So you would ask, wow. Charlie, how did you do? Well, I did pretty good. I pitched a slider, bounced in front of the plate, and it went to the catcher, Mr. Donovan, who's done a great job. But we traded to you a guy by the name of Harrison Bader. You will enjoy watching him play.
Wow. Cool. That's a cool fun fact.
Well, it is when your kids give it to you and they surprise you when you get there. Now, you mentioned you mentioned the Super Bowl guy. Why an athlete in the book?
Lieberson is my best friend. He accepted Christ kind of, well, not really late, but he was one of these I can do it on my own type guys.
Yeah.
In my book, I talk about the concept of mini-max. Minimum effort, maximum result. And I told that I've actually got a video on YouTube where I talk about that with Lee. And he said, Steve, I don't agree with that. And Coach Belichick, definitely. He said, there's no such thing as shortcuts. You got to do the work. So Lee, he speaks in front of thousands of young people. Occasionally I go with him. His concept is, who are you? What are you doing? And he tries to lead them. I mean, you can't talk about Jesus in a public setting anymore. You know that, right?
Correct.
So he tries to lead them toward, it's like my book. My book is not really a Christian book, quote unquote, but my pastor loves it because I lead breadcrumbs mm-hmm. to them.
Yes.
So they can follow, and that's what Lee does in his thing. So wow. I work with him and another friend, Ken Johnson. He played for the Bengals. They're great men of God, and the young people love them.
Let me ask you a question, Sheila and Steve. It seems to me, he said this two or three times, Sheila, about the book. Doesn't the scriptures tell us to be salt?
Right.
So we give a taste?
Absolutely.
Sounds to me like Steve's got a book, Sheila, that's creating the taste.
Exactly. Well, I hear what he's saying, is that it's built on the principles of the Word of God, which is the whole concept that we're missing in our nation right now. You know, that's we have godly roots, which doesn't mean we're about preaching to people, but we're based on the truth of the Scriptures. And life based on the Scriptures is going to be a lot happier life and a lot more in order. And that's, I think I'm hearing you say that's the concept you're teaching in this book.
Exactly. I don't spend a lot of time writing about Jesus because the book is about world changers.
Exactly.
But I spend about a page and a half, and I point out to the audience the concepts that Jesus taught is in our Constitution.
Right.
And in democracies across the world. And his concept was used by Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. and Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah.
So it's a universal truth that works.
That's right.
When you take athletes like you're talking about that are prime, and you just hurt me again. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to use the word Belichick, which brings up Tom Brady, which brings up, is he really the greatest quarterback? Yes, he probably is. Two favorite teams are the Kansas City Chiefs and whoever's playing Tom Brady. So, I mean, that's the way it is. Okay? I get that. But we learn lessons. And when you have an athlete standing in front of you that's a specimen, 6'3", 6'4", 240, 250, chiseled, and he says, let me tell you about me, and his principles are based on following Jesus Christ, it's pretty neat, Sheila.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I have a grandson that's with the L.A. Dodgers. He's, just coming up in the minors right now. But he said, Grammy, I know this is God. He said, I don't have to preach to people. He said, I just love them and let God use that, you know. And it's changed his whole perspective on life. Signed on the dotted line with the major league team. He knows he's there for, the purpose of God, but it doesn't mean he's going to preach to him every week. And he's so excited about the open doors that are coming through that,
Steve, I'm going to keep your contact information. I'm going to send you a clip from the Super Bowl of last year when the Rams were playing Cincinnati. And my new favorite friend is playing for Denver right now is Russell Wilson. And he spoke.
Oh, wow.
And he spoke at the FCA banquet, and my son was able to film a clip of him speaking. And when you take a guy like Russell Wilson, who went back to Seattle, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago, to the home stadium, booed like crazy by a lot of people. His hope is not in those fans,
right.
But in
right.
Christ.
Exactly.
Steve, somebody's going to get this book when it comes. Thank you very much for joining us, buddy.
Oh, sounds like you're good.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Sheila.
All righty.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.